Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरा भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरा भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा शील प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा शील प्रभु जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा शील प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा शील प्रभु नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल
श्री श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय जगद्गुरु शिला प्रभुपाद की जय गौर प्रेमनंदे हरि हरि बोल
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोऽभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमोऽं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय निगमकल्पतरुरगलितं फलं सुखमुकादमृता द्रवसंयुतं विभतभागवतरसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुका नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी
हरे कृष्ण Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 2, The Dynasties of the Sons of Manu, text number 10 through 17. So I'll read the 10 to 16 verse translation and purport, and then we'll recite verse number 17, which is on the board here.
Evam shaptastu guruna pratyagrihnat kritanjali adharayat brutam veera udvareta munipriyam.
Translation and purports by Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada.
When the hero, Prashudra, was thus cursed by his spiritual master, he accepted the curse with folded hands. Then, having controlled his senses, he took the vow of Brahmacharya, which is approved by all great sages.
Vasudeve Bhagavati Sarvatmani Paremale Ekantitvam gato bhaktya sarvabhuta suhut samaha vimukta sanga shantatma samyaktaksho parigraha yadvichayo papannena kalpayan vitrin atmanaha atmanyatmanam adhaya jnana tripta samaditaha vichacharamahi metam jadanda bandira kritihi.
Translation. Thereafter, Prashudra gained relief from all responsibilities, became peaceful in mind, and established control over all his senses. Being unaffected by material conditions, being pleased with whatever was available by the grace of the Lord to maintain body and soul together, and being equal toward everyone, he gave full attention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is the transcendental Supersoul, free from material contamination. Thus, Prashudra, fully satisfied in pure knowledge, always keeping his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, achieved pure devotional service to the Lord and began traveling all over the world without affection for material activities, as if he were deaf, dumb and blind.
Text number 14. Evam brutto vanam gatva drishtva dhavagni muttitam teno payukta karano brahma prapa param munihi.
With this attitude, Prasudra became a great saint, and when he entered the forest and saw a blazing forest fire, he took this opportunity to burn his body in the fire. Thus he achieved transcendental spiritual world. Purport.
The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so arjuna.
One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Prashudra, because of his karma, was cursed to take his next birth as a Shudra. But because he took to saintly life, specifically concentrating his mind always upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became a pure devotee. Immediately after giving up his body in the fire, he reached the spiritual world, as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Mam Eti, as a result of his devotional situation. Devotional service performed by thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so powerful that although Prasudra was cursed, he avoided the terrible consequence of being a Shudra and instead returned home back to Godhead. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5.54, Yastvindra Gopamatavendra Mohoswakarma Bandhanarupa Falabhajana Matanoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
those who engaged in devotional service are unaffected by the results of their material activities. Otherwise, everyone from the smallest microbe up to the king of heaven, Indra, is subject to the laws of karma. A pure devotee, being always engaged in the service of the Lord, is exempt from these laws. Text number 15.
Kavikaniyan vishayeshu nishpurho visrajya rajyam sahabandubir vanam niveshya chitte purusham swarochisham vivesha kaishora vayaparam gataha.
Being reluctant to accept material enjoyment, Manu's youngest son, whose name was Kavi, gave up the kingdom before attaining full youth. Accompanied by his friends, he went to the forest, always thinking of the self-effulgent Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. Thus he attained perfection. Text number 16.
Karushan manavad asan karushah kshatra jatayah uttarapata goptaro brahmanya dharma vatsalah.
From Karusha, another son of Manu, came the Karusha dynasty, a family of Kshatriyas. The Karusha Kshatriyas were the kings of the northern direction. They were celebrated protectors of Brahminical culture and were all firmly religious. Text number 17, please repeat.
Drishtad Darshtam Abhukshatram. Drishtad Darshtam Abhukshatram. Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Kshitau. Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Kshitau. Nrigasya Vamshah Sumatir. Nrigasya Vamshah Sumatir. Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasuhu. Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasuhu. Drishta Darshatam Abhut Kshatram. Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Kshitau. Nrigasya Vamsha Sumatir. Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasuhu. Drishta Darshatam Abhukshatram. Bhuyam Gatam Kshit. Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Kshitau. Nrigasya Vamsha Sumatir. Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasuhu. Drishta Darshatam Abhut Kshatram. Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Kshitau. Nrigasya Vamsha Sumatir. Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasuhu. Drishta Darshatam Abhukshatram. Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Kshitau. Nirgasya Vamsha Sumatir. Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasuhu. Drishva Darshata Svadhurasthyam. Brahma Bhuyam Gato Sutra. Nrigasya Vamsha Sumati. Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasuhu.
Matajis.
Drishtadastam abhukshatram Brahma bhuyam gatam shitau Nrigasya vamsa sumate Bhuta jyotistato vasuhu Drishtadashatam rathushasyam Brahma bhuyam gatam shitau Nrigasya vamsa sumate Bhuta jyotistato vasuhu Drishtadashadama bhukshatram Brahma bhuya gatam shitau Nrigasya vamsa sumate Bhuta jyotistato vasuhu
Drishtad, from Drishta, another son of Manu. Darshtam, a caste of the name Darshta. Abhut, was produced. Kshatram, belonging to the Kshatriya group. Brahma Bhuyam, the position of Brahmanas. Gatam, had achieved. Kshitau, on the surface of the world. Nrigasya, of Nriga, another son of Manu. Vamshaha, the dynasty. Sumatihi, of the name Sumati. Bhuta Jyoti, of the name Bhuta Jyoti. Tataha, thereafter. Vasuhu, by the name Vasu. Translation, please repeat. From the son of Manu, named Drishta, came a Kshatriya caste called Darshta, whose members achieved the position of Brahmanas in this world. Then, from the son of Manu, named Nriga, came Sumati. From Sumati came Bhuta Jyoti. And from Bhuta Jyoti came Vasu. Purport. Here it is said, Kshatram Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Kshitau. Although Darshtas belonging to the Kshatriya caste, they were able to convert themselves into Brahmanas. This gives clear evidence supporting the following statement by Narad Muni in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, Text 35.
Yasya yallakshanam proktam pumso varnabiyan varnabi vyanjakam yad anyatrapi drishyeta tatte naiva vinirdishet.
If the qualities of one group are found in the men of another, those men should be recognized by their qualities, by their symptoms, and not by the caste of the family in which they were born. Birth is not at all important. It is one's qualities that are stressed in all Vedic literature.
Mukam karoti vala chalam pungam langa ite girim yat kripata maham mandeshi gurum dinadarinam parmananda madam shri chaitanya ishwaram nama om vishnu padaya krishna prashtaya bhutale shrimate jay pataka swamti namni nama acharya padaya nitaya kripa pradayini gaurakata damdaya nagar grahamatharini katanchana smrite yasmin dushkaram sukaram bhavet smrite vipritam syat shri chaitanya namamitam hare krishna.
So we are discussing about the descendants of Manu, particularly the descendants of the Vaivashvata Manu. Currently we are in the chapter discussing about one of the sons of Manu by name Prashraddha.
who has taken the service, who was given the service of protecting the cows by his spiritual master Vasishtha Muni. But unfortunately, while protecting the cows in the night, because of the darkness, he could not differentiate between the tiger and the cow. By mistake, he killed the cow. And because of that, he was cursed by his guru to become a Shudra in the next life. So in today's Bhagavatam section, between text 10 and text 17, we are going to discuss about two subject matters. We are going to focus on two subject matters. The first one starts in the 17th verse, which I am going to discuss now. It's about how the different orders of the society are decided by their qualities. And the second discussion is about how one should cultivate the attitude of facing the reverses while performing devotional service in our day-to-day life. So in Bhagavad Gita, it is very clearly mentioned by Lord Sri Krishna, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Guna and Karma basically decides to which order one belongs to, not the birth. So here also it is reiterated in Srimad Bhagavatam, one should be considered as a Brahmana or a Kshatriya by his qualities, not by his birth. But in due course of time, this particular concept has been forgotten, and people were focusing more on the birth than on the qualities. So in due course of time, the people who are supposed to follow the Brahmanical principles, they focused more on their birth, not on their qualities they are supposed to follow. But here it is very clearly mentioned, both in this purport of Bhagavatam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna clearly says that one should qualify to become a Brahmana, irrespective of wherever one takes birth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Nectar of Devotion, in the preface, Prabhupada quotes, the fundamental principle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to make everyone Goswamis, is above Brahmana. Everybody should become Goswamis. That is the principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everybody in this world must become Goswamis. Every practicing devotee should become Goswami. That means one should control his mind and all his senses in the service of the Lord, and utilize it in the service of the Lord. That is pure devotional service. When you utilize all the senses in the service of the Lord, that becomes a pure devotional service. Rupa Goswami says, Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchyate. When the senses are employed in the service of the Lord, then automatically senses get purified, and when we are removed from all sorts of designation, including to the extent of considering that we are this body, not spirit soul. So basically we are the spirit soul, not this body. That designation also goes away when we engage all our senses in the service of the Lord. So that is pure devotional service. Right? So pure devotional service is not about rejecting anything, but engaging everything in the service of the Lord. So that is pure devotional service. So one is not, should not be worried whether one is a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or Vaishya, Shudra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is everybody should become a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That is the fundamental regulative principle one should remember. That is, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyam na jatu chet. All the other rules and regulations should become subservient in the primary condition. That is, to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So that should be the mood of a devotee. One should not aim to become a Brahmana. No, our Brahmanical culture is already included in the Vaishnava culture. Right? We have so many guidelines provided by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. What are the do's and don'ts that one need to follow? So, so it is mentioned that if you follow the four regulative principles and chant the holy names of the Lord, then Sridhar Swami mentions in one of the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like a son in a family. If he wants to inherit the properties of his father, the only requirement of the son, you know what is that? He should be alive. Very good. So if he should be alive, so automatically he will inherit the properties of his father. That's the only requirement. So if you want to go back home back to Godhead, the only requirement is that we have to follow four regulative principles and chant the holy names of the Lord constantly, and then we can be rest assured that we can go back home back to Godhead. So this is the only requirement. So all the other requirements are all secondary. This is the fundamental requirement to follow these guidelines and remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So when we follow these things, and all the other things will fall in place in due course of time automatically, without making any extraneous efforts. So it is not about rejecting things, it is about including everything in the service of Krishna. That is the real intelligence. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, it is mentioned, Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Viraktir Anyatra Chaisa Trika Eka Kalha Prapadyamanasya Yatashnatasyu Tushti Pushti Shudapayonu Gashan. Here it is mentioned, when we surrender into the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are three things that happen simultaneously. The first one is devotional service, that is bhakti. Then Para Isha Anubhava. Para Isha Anubhava means direct experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can have a direct experience, direct relationship, direct interaction with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the third one is Virakti. Virakti means detachment. Detachment takes place automatically from all the other things. When we engage in the service of the Lord. So this is compared to a person who is very, very hungry. The only way to drive away the hunger is how? To eat. Only way to drive away the hunger is to eat. So when we eat each morsel of food, prasadam, then we get nourishment, then we get become more healthy, it becomes tasty, and automatically the hunger goes away. So similarly, if you want to get detachment, the only way to get detachment is to attach ourselves to Krishna and engage in his services. That is the only way to get detachment. So one should clearly, we all should clearly understand what is the goal of one's life. One's goal of life is to engage in devotional service. That should be the only goal. Not even liberation. Srila Rupa Goswami said liberation is secondary. It will come automatically behind us when we engage in the service of the Lord to please him. But how to render this devotional service? During the course of the practice of devotional service, we come across so many challenges. This is the reality. Each one of us come across so many challenges while facing devotional service. In this case, the verse we are discussing, the group of verses, the set of verses we are discussing about Prasuddha, was cursed by his spiritual master to become a Shudra. So how did he respond to this curse? So we all come across so many challenges, so many devotees, or senior devotees, or our friendly devotees, or somebody in our management chastise us, then we get very upset immediately. And then we create a resentment in our heart while rendering devotional service. Rupa Goswami clearly says, one should not practice devotional service with resentment in the heart. That is basically an obstacle while rendering devotional service. So how to overcome that? How to overcome these challenges? So these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and many instances that are quoted in Srimad Bhagavatam will give us inspiration how different personalities have faced different challenges while engaging in the devotional service of the Lord. So here it is mentioned that Prasuddha, one of the sons of Manu, when he was cursed, he accepted the curse with folded hands, without any argument, without any kind of debate or any kind of resentment. He just accepted, okay, this is the mercy of the Lord I am going through. This is because of my past deeds I am going through these reverses. So I have to make myself more strong by engaging in devotional service. That was his mood. So like this, we have several instances in Srimad Bhagavatam. We will go through some of these instances which we are very, very familiar with as we have come across these pastimes of the Lord and between Lord and his devotees. The very first one is in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by this Brahman boy in his immature state. Although he's a Brahman boy, he's very immature, but still he had this Brahmanical qualities. He had the power to curse another person. And because of his immaturity, he cursed this Parikshit Maharaj to die in 7 days. Parikshit Maharaj, because of his, because he is a pure devotee of the Lord, he could have reversed, he could have avoided this curse completely, but he didn't do that. He accepted that as the mercy of the Lord. And he say he decided to go through this curse and then prepare himself for leaving his body. He accepted this as a mercy of the Lord. So that is the mood that we need to understand. We do come across, that doesn't mean we have taken up to devotional service, I'm chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That doesn't mean that we won't get into any challenges. Yes, we do get into challenges because this is material world. We will have lot of challenges when we are engaged in devotional service. What to speak of the situations when we are not engaged in the devotional service? Probably when we are not engaged in the devotional service, we are thinking that we are very happy. Like Prabhupada quotes different examples, that a camel in a desert, when it eats the cactus leaves, which is thorny cactus leaves, that the leaves basically tears upon the jaws of the camel, and the blood comes out of that, and then forms a very beautiful juice with a mixture of this the pulp of this cactus leaves, and then it's enjoying. Wow, so nice. But out of ignorance, it is not able to understand that it's really suffering. So that is our status when we are not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. We don't even know that we are suffering. But when, as devotees, practicing devotees, we know what is correct and what is not correct, what is suffering and what is not suffering, then we understand, yes, this is a suffering. So how to overcome these sufferings? How to react and respond to these challenges that we face? So that is a very good situation than not being a devotee and not knowing that really we are suffering. So this, we are in a better position. So when you are in this better position, we should understand how we can respond to these situations. That's what Parikshit Maharaj and different personalities are trying to teach us, how to take each situation. Each situation is the mercy of Krishna. First of all, we should understand that Krishna is, whenever Krishna does something, he's right. But many a time we think, oh no, Krishna is unfair. How can Krishna give this kind of problem to me? I have renounced everything. I have come here. I have engaged in devotional service. How can I get into problems? No, I cannot. Because Krishna is giving me problems, Krishna is not good. Or Krishna is not fair. No, Krishna is always correct. Krishna is always fair. Under any situation. Nobody can challenge it. Just because we do not understand the plans of Krishna doesn't mean Krishna is not fair or Krishna is not right. So we should have that kind of faith that Krishna is always fair. How do we get that kind of faith? How do we be stable in our faith? Our initial fragile faith can be firmed up only by associating with devotees and studying Srimad Bhagavatam and such scriptures under the guidance of a spiritual master and become the disciple of a spiritual master. Then our faith becomes very strong and we reach the stage of Nishta. Until then, it will always be fragile. It will always be weak. So one should really understand how one should respond to different situations. Here Parikshit Maharaj is very clear. Yes, this is ordained by Krishna, so I'll just have to follow this. Many a time we will be confused with situations. Oh, is this ordained by Krishna? So should I not do anything at all? Should I keep quiet? should I say face all the consequences? No, we have to follow. We have to take guidance. When we are in confusion, we should immediately take guidance. Arjuna did that. When he was in confusion in the middle of the battlefield, he immediately resorted to guidance, to his friend Krishna, who became his spiritual master, to guide him what to do and what not to do. So when it comes from the authority, like the spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it becomes very authentic. Then there is no confusion at all. When we take guidance from Tom, Dick and Harry, then it becomes a problem for us. It will just become the opposite. So we should be careful where we take guidance from. So we have to open our heart. Rupa Goswami gives this instruction to us, guideline to us, dadadi pratigrihanati guhyamakyati prachyati. In confidence we have to open our heart and explain our situation to a Vaishnava devotee who is in a position to help us. Then we can overcome all the problems in life. I'm sure each one of us will have someone or should have someone to whom we can open our heart. Otherwise there's no point in being in the association of devotees. We all will come across so many difficulties in our life, but we should have someone with whom we can open our heart and speak and explain our situation and see how to get guidance and go forward in our devotional practices without any confusion. Unless we do that, we will be forced to make mistakes because we think, oh, I don't want any guidance, I can do myself everything nicely. Then there is every possibility of we making mistakes. So we should always take guidance from the other Vaishnava devotees. Another example from the history of Srimad Bhagavatam is about Mother Kunti and the Pandavas. They went through so many challenges. The Pandavas went through challenges right from their childhood. So many challenges. So in spite of going all these challenges, Maharani Kunti at the end of the Kurukshetra war, when Krishna was leaving back to Dwaraka, she is praying to Krishna. Vipada santuta shashvas tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsya adapunar bhava darshanam. Please give me more and more problems. Who is going to ask like this? None of us going to ask, please give me more problems. No, we want to get rid of our problems. But here there is a personality who wants more and more problems. Why? Because when we have more problems, our intensity, our prayer to Krishna will solidify, will become more focused. Oh, what is going to happen? Let me depend more on Krishna. So we depend more on Krishna. When we don't have much problems, then we kind of become complacent and we relax little bit. Okay, if you don't for Mangalar, don't go for Mangalarti today, it's okay, tomorrow I'll go. We can become little complacent sometimes. I'm talking about myself, not about all of you. So sometimes it happens that we become complacent. But when we have real challenges in front of us, then we become more serious. The point is, we don't realize that every moment we are facing this challenge. As long as we have this body, we have challenge. As long as we are in this material world, we have this challenge. So how to overcome this challenge is to become more and more serious in following the instructions of the acharyas and the spiritual master. That makes us become more focused in our devotional service and see how we can move away from the problem as much as possible. So that's the point here. So Mother Kunti and Pandavas went through so many sufferings, but they were always very, very patient and they were constantly remembering Krishna at all times, so that and Krishna was also reciprocating with them, right? Based on the purity in our heart, with what sincerity we are approaching Krishna, to that extent Krishna reciprocates. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. To whatever extent you reciprocate, we reciprocate, and to that extent Krishna reciprocates back to us. So it's not Krishna's fault. Oh, I'm calling Krishna, Krishna is not coming. No. To what intention, with what sincerity are we calling? Then Krishna will reciprocate accordingly. So we have instances like Haridas Thakur. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. But he was very, very... He was praying, please. He was praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please excuse these people. They are doing everything out of ignorance. So he was not at all offended by these things. Like that Chitraketu, Maharaja Chitraketu, when he was traveling in an airplane, he was going across the Kailash hill, and he saw Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati sitting side by side. Probably Mother Parvati was sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva, and then Chitraketu was laughing at that scene, and Mother Parvati got offended and she cursed him to become a demon. And this demon is none other than Dhritarashtra in his next life. But in this case also, Chitraketu accepted, oh, this is the will of the Lord, I'll accept it, without challenging, without getting angry. So this is the point. We, as long as we get angry, we have to understand you have to travel a little longer distance. This is the test for us, each one of us. We can introspect ourselves, where do we stand in each day of our devotional service. So that means we should get more challenges, and we should check how we are responding ourselves to different challenges. So this is the point. So in one of the discussions, during Chaitanya Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told one of his associates, Mukunda Datta. So Mukunda Datta was told that he will get the darshan only after 1 million births. Next time he will get darshan of Mahaprabhu only after 1 million births. So Mukunda Datta, naturally, if somebody of Mahaprabhu's stature is going to tell us like this, then we all become so sad and offended. That Mukunda Datta was so happy, was jubilantly jumping. Yes, after 1 million births, I will get darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Gauranga! He was jumping up and down. He was so happy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing this mood of Mukunda Datta, he became very ecstatic. Oh, so much of faith Mukunda Datta is having in my words, so I'll give him so much of mercy. So this should be the mood of the devotees. Not that we should artificially do that, we should come to that point naturally. How do we come to that point naturally is again by the association with devotees and engaging in the devotional service of the Lord. This is how we come to that. So so I just want to go back and read one full purport from Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, which is so closely related to the discussion what we have. I'm sure many of us will know this verse, very famous verse. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kripam vipakam hridvagvapurbe vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti pade saddhayabha. It's a beautiful verse. So here the translation goes, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. It's a very beautiful verse, and the purport is also very nicely done. The word susamikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So we have to wait. We should have the patience and tolerance and continue in our devotional service, that one day, yes, Krishna will open the door for us so that we can get that ecstasy and all. So we have to wait for that. Until then we have to go through all the trials and tribulations, considering that as the mercy of the Lord, not as a karmic reaction. This is not a karmic reaction. This is for non-devotees, karmic reaction take place. But for the devotees, it is not karmic reaction. It is the mercy bestowed by the Lord, so that our intensity to render devotional service increase day after day after day. That's why these challenges are put across to us. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore, the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy false happiness in this world. The Lord, therefore, creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness, suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. So this is the reason why Krishna puts the devotees into different situations where we are challenged, so that we can intensify our devotion towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes we think, oh, I have so many challenges, let me not do that. So many a time we have the tendency to give up very quickly. So Krishna doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to make our devotion very, very strong. But it is a challenge. When we come across challenges like this, we go to the extent of running away from devotional service. That's why it is recommended we should always be under the guidance, under the association, in the association of devotees, so that we do not mistake these sort of situations and move away from devotional service. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to Godhead. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all his hardship a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words Dhaya Bhak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the supreme pure Lord Krishna without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. So it's a very beautiful purport which explains to us how one should become 100% pure if one has to go back home, back to Godhead. So all these challenges, the punishments that we come across in our day-to-day practice of devotional service, these are all purificatory processes which one should pass these tests in order to advance further in devotional service. These tests can happen at any stage in our life. For example, Bharata Maharaja was, although he renounced everything and went to the forest to engage in complete meditation, but there also, even though he was in a very, very high stage of rendering devotional service, but unfortunately he got attached to a stag. So this is a situation for devotees. One should not be complacent at all. One should be very, very careful, and one should always try and see how we keep on improving in devotional service day in and day out. So that is a point here. So while practicing, we will come across challenges, and we should see how to overcome these challenges. These are all sounds, theoretically it sounds very nice, but in practice we need to strive hard to do this. So we can make a list every day: what are the challenges I faced, how did I respond to these challenges in my day-to-day life, was I really depending on Krishna, did I approach any individual devotee to sort out these problems. When we do something like that over a period of time, then we get into the habit of depending more and more on Krishna and his devotees to face our challenges. So the conclusion of this point based on Prasiddhara's response is basically that we should accept all situations in our life as the mercy of the Lord. Lord has a special plan. Our plans will not work unless it coincides with Lord's plan. Our own plan will not work. Not a blade of grass moves without Lord's will. That is a saying, but that's a fact also. Yeah. So one should depend more and more on Krishna, engage more and more devotional service, then we can overcome these challenges successfully. Hare Krishna. I request if you have any comments or questions. If I know the answers, definitely I'll answer. If I don't know, I'll request senior devotees to answer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, can you pass it on?
In conclusion, you said about accepting challenges. A point that I get a little confused about is if we are given a service that maybe doesn't suit our personality, should we just accept that as a challenge or just say, oh, this is Krishna telling me to do this? In other words, if I were to swap services with Pankajangri, and all of a sudden I'm the pujari and he's doing whatever I'm doing, we would both feel uncomfortable, I would imagine, doing what each other's service would be. So it so happens that we both are engaged in probably where we should be, but what if when I joined the temple they said, we'd like you to be the pujari, and they say to Pankajangri, we want you to go out and distribute books. And both of us would be like, wow, that's not who we are. So do we accept that as a devotee? Do you accept, oh, you know, this is your service, just do it, it's Krishna's mercy? Or should we say, you know, I'm probably better suited for something else?
Hare Krishna. Whatever answers I'm giving is basically based on my personal realization, not based on anything else. So my realization about this is, when we chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we are praying to Srimati Radharani to engage us in the devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. So the point is, it is not about what we like or what we don't like. It is about what we should do. And if there are incompatibilities while during the course of the service, that's what we should accept this as a service of the Lord. If the Lord wants some other service, then He will arrange some other service for us. So when the authority says that this is a service we are supposed to do, which we can do probably by training and practice, we can always say that I need some training, I need to learn this, then we have to learn that and do. Several of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they were quite young in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada asked them to go and open the temple, print books, do editing work. So many services were given to various disciples of Srila Prabhupada. They were not technically qualified to render these services, but Prabhupada, because of his purity and the sincerity of the disciples, because they were very sincere, then Krishna provided the intelligence. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dadhami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantiti. Krishna gives the intelligence from within when we have the sincere desire to render this service to please the Vaishnava devotees and Lord Sri Krishna. So going by that that verdict given by Lord Sri Krishna, we should accept these devotional service and sincerely attempt to render these services and depend on Krishna. The point is how much we depend on Krishna. The point is not about whether we could be successful or not successful. The successful nature of a particular service is about how much we can please the Vaishnava devotees and how much sincerely we are making an effort to execute that particular service. If I'm not correct, you can correct me. Hare Krishna. Several hands are up. Yes. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Sorry. Yes, that was one point in your class, the challenges, no, accepting the challenges. Yet another point you were mentioning was that castes are not according birth. So we may be placed in one service like by chance, no? So in this statement says that one's caste is not by birth, it's not by chance that I am take birth in a Brahmana family and therefore I am a Brahmana, no? Similarly, sometimes we are given one kind of service, but this doesn't mean that I may have the qualification for that service. I also don't understand so clearly these two points.
Probably you can elaborate a little more what how it should be understood.
Well, one may have the right to say, I've been studying about this topic, I've been endeavoring about this topic, I've been trying to accept this service, and I do, yet you can see which are the qualities of the person, no? Sometimes, of course, there is two things. One is emergency. There is emergency to distribute Prabhupada's books, and everyone should participate in one way or another. And at the same time, each person has a specific qualities, and these qualities are given by the Lord. It's not nothing like one can do about it. No. So what I feel is that that should not be disregarded. That's
okay. That's fine. Yes, Mataji, there.
Prabhuji, in the purport you read, it said that for devotees there's no karma, it's mercy. Is that right?
That's right.
So if a devotee gets cancer or dies in a car accident, that's mercy or karma?
Yeah, according to purport, it's more a mercy than karma. Going by the understanding of the purport given for this particular verse, 10.14.8. For all devotees, practicing devotees, it is a mercy of the Lord. Once we are fully surrendered, the guru, the spiritual master and Krishna takes away all our karmic reactions. From then on, we are going by the guidance of the spiritual master and Krishna. So they give all these sort of situations so that we can purify ourselves. So it directly becomes mercy of the Lord. It's not karmic reaction. As long as we follow the regulated guidelines provided by the spiritual master and Krishna.
My question and a comment is on the same point which Mataji brought up. I have seen personally, not just in my life, but more so in my life, that I made so many mistakes and I'm suffering the reactions, and I've seen many devotees also from ignorance of proper behavior even. So we get karma. So you say it's mercy. I think it's a cop-out when you say that. Personally, I know that I have made many mistakes and I'm suffering the reaction. So, obviously the reaction may be considered mercy according to what you are saying.
But I'm going by the purport here. The purport here is very clear. And in the translation also it is very clear. We have to make our endeavors. We do make mistakes a lot of times. As long as have a sincerity in our heart, then we do come across. The point is about we do come across reverses even when we do things sincerely. When we try to render devotional service sincerely, we do come across reverses. These reverses are considered as the mercy of the Lord.
I just see one example just very recently that a lot of men are not aware of their duties towards their family members. Then the wives get frustrated and they come to the point of leaving. Then if the man goes around and says, oh, it's Krishna's mercy and now I can continue with my devotional service on my own. Personally, I think this is lack of training within the ashrams, and it's so obvious in so many cases. So ignorance and then suffering the reaction of the ignorance.
I agree with you. A lot of training is required, a lot of practice. Basically, we have to follow the instruction. When we don't follow the instructions and get the proper knowledge and application of the knowledge, we get into these sort of situations. Because basically, we try to give lame excuses in the garb of scriptural conclusions, which need to be avoided by appropriate systematic training. That's the ISKCON. We, as followers of Prabhupada's guidelines in ISKCON, we should take that
effort. We individually, each one of us should take that responsibility to ensure these things are followed and the youngsters are also trained in these areas. Yes, very much agreed. Right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavatam Granth Raj ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Mm-hmm.